This morning, as we gather for worship, did you know that our youth are in Germantown at the Philadelphia Project, putting their hands and their backs to the work of repairing homes and rebuilding lives? We've got a few pictures of hot off the presses images from this weekend. As we gather, I remember two things, the first of which is our youth came to an understanding that faith is lived out with their hands and their backs in this place. For that, we should be proud. And I also remember that our youth this morning are truly leading us as we talk about generous good works. I give thanks for them, for the adults, and for the leadership this morning. This week, we continue in a series created to be generous. God, who created us not just to be carriers of our possessions, but to be generous in all ways. We first learned that we are created in the image of God, and we reflect God's generosity. Thanks be to God for our choir, who sung so beautifully the image of God, calling us back to what it looks like to be the people of God. Thank you for sharing those gifts this morning. Last week, we talked about being openly generous, despite the taboos and limitations we might find ourselves against. And today, we embrace what God has called us to be generous in good works. Now, I have to say, good works have gotten a bit of a bad rap in Christian history. We've come to understand that you can either have good works or have faith. We've had trouble as a church imagining that both things exist in the same person. However, we've been a bit mistaken. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, spoke of our need for both. The gospel, he says, is known as no other than the foundation of good works than faith, or faith than Christ. It so clearly informs us that we are not his disciples while we deny him to be the author or the spirit, the inspirer of, or the perfecter of both works and faith. That is to say, good works are the fruits of our faith, the manifestation made visible to others while serving their particular needs. Good works are generous and necessary to the full salvation of a whole people. Good works are letting God work through us to serve one another. Our generosity is a string of good works. That is to say, not just a good idea around Thanksgiving, and not just a good idea we saw catching on Facebook, but generosity is our need to serve God and to serve others. In fact, it's how you and I were created. And each time we veer from our need to be generous, we find ourselves malcontent, unable to quite settle in to our souls. Paul's first letter to Timothy begins by reminding us that our contentment is what's at stake. When we place our stock in the accumulation of wealth for security or luxury, comfort or adoration, we've missed the purpose. We've fallen short. The letter goes on to advise that instead, you and I are called to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. We have this need to be generous, to serve one another. It's how we were created. So I found myself this week thinking about a movement. I wonder if you've heard about it. A movement of mothers that began in America, but it's kind of picking up some steam around the world. It's called Momastery. This is a parachurch kind of thing outside of the church. And this is a collection of women, occasionally men as well. Individually, the folks in this group are hoping to affect change. A bit of change here and a bit of change over there. Some everyday solace and encouragement to those who have need. But I have to tell you, collaboratively, when folks work together, the effect is breathtaking. This week, this movement decided that there was a need out of the Syrian refugee crisis in Germany, which is taking in so many of the refugees. There is a shortage of midwives. You see, when people travel, they tend to travel all of them with them. And so babies are about to be born with no way in which to be supported. This movement decided there was such a need to equip in Germany. They put out the call, and in 24 hours, $475,000 were gathered. About 21,000 givers. So if you do a little bit of quick math, that's about $22 a person who gave out of their heart. They had a need to give. Now, I'm guessing most of these folks hadn't been sitting around saying, what can I spend $22 on? Most of them hadn't saved up and hoped that someone would appeal to their heart, like all of us. They had resources that were available, but hearts that were ready to equip others in their places of need. Doesn't that sound like the work of the church? That's exactly what the church is called to do. Where our good works and our generosity come together as partners, living into the faith and discipleship to which we've been called. Our purpose of giving our time and our talents, our financial gifts, not just because we have an abundance of zeros in our bank account, not just because our time has a lot of white space on the calendar. Our purpose of giving, that is discipleship, the very people we've been called to be. Our generosity in times when we struggle and in times when the storm has passed us by. Our times of serving when we have needs ourselves, and our times of abundance as well. In our psalm that Karen read for us, we heard David's struggle. He was struggling with Abimelech. And in the midst of this struggle, we hear he has pain, but he has relied upon God. The need to be dependent on God and acting out of who God called him to be. The last verse of the psalm she read reminded us that happy are those who take refuge in God. Other translations, instead of saying happy, use the word content. Content are those who know God's presence and can be wrapped up in the very arms of God. The image of the mother hen is prolific in the Old Testament, particularly in Isaiah and the Psalms. The beginning of that verse also calls us to taste and see that God is good. If we were going to translate the term taste a little more fully, we would say to try something by experiencing it. This is the same kind of language that we use when encouraging our children to try a new food, or perhaps our spouse to try a new recipe that we've picked up. Scientifically, we understand that perception of food is as important as the actual experience itself. Have you heard about these experiments with lemon jello? So the experiment goes like this. They instruct a group of folks they're going to eat lemon jello and then inject some different food dyes to the jello. So some folks are eating red lemon jello and some folks are eating green lemon jello and some folks get the yellow lemon jello. Even folks who like lemon jello respond poorly when it's red or when it's green, but seem to enjoy it well when it's yellow. That is to say that folks don't want to try the red lemon jello. It just doesn't, you know, kind of sound quite right. The studies go on to say our tendency to dislike and hate things are that which goes beyond our perceptual comfort zone. We make snap judgments about what everything is based on our prior experience. If you've never had red lemon jello before, you don't believe you're having red lemon jello. This ability helps us to make quick decisions, but it also tells us when we sometimes have gotten our first impressions quite wrong. For example, it was the television show Seinfeld that was told to be a total failure on the pilot and went on to how many years of success across time? Our first impressions can sometimes just be completely off. So tasting and seeing that the Lord is good is something we try out. It's an invitation. It's an enticement. It's a hypothesis, a potential experiment. The psalmist proclaims, in the midst of my hardest times, I tried God out and found that God was good, that the refuge I needed, the hiding place from my struggle, was right there when I needed it most. So trying something by experiencing it, committing yourself to something you've not tried before. Now I realize, as I'm about ready to give you a challenge of being generous in the next week, you could be thinking to yourself, I don't have any time. There's no white space on my calendar. And you could be thinking, I already do plenty. Quite frankly, it's enough. Or I don't know how exactly to do or what I would do, and you might be right. And yet, you and I are called in our discipleship to abundant life. That is to say, we are called to fight the good fight and to hold on to eternal life. So our challenge this week is to a new and different way to serve others. What could you do? Perhaps you could come this afternoon to Trunk or Treat and greet folks as they come in the door, hosts to our community. Maybe you could offer a neighbor a cup of coffee and say, so how's it really going today? Perhaps you could join us for our community cafe, pull up a chair next to someone who's here and tell them why it is that you've decided to come and let them tell you why they came. Maybe, like our youth, you could imagine a weekend of supporting someone else, rebuilding their home, even though your home has plenty of things that could be rebuilt and are on the to-do list already. maybe, you could spend an evening at the church during Family Promise as a host to those people who currently don't have a home to go to at the end of the day. You could fill shoeboxes of hope for our Samaritan Purse program we'll be starting next week. You could grocery shop for some of the needs that we have. When I filled bags this week for some folks from our community, I found myself apologizing because we didn't have as much protein as I might wanted to share, and said, I hope you like pasta for this week. We got lots of that. The list is endless. The needs are seemingly as endless. And you and I have a need as well. We have a need to be generous, just as the needs of our world need to be filled. That's what our purpose is. Frederick Buchner says, the place where your deepest gladness meets the world's greatest need is your calling, is your vocation, is your purpose. So I pray this week God will move within you. Use your hands, your feet, your back, your very being to offer generous works to those who need it most. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.